Open your Bibles to the Old Testament portion, to 1 Kings chapter 9. We are reading verses 1 to 9. 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 1 to 9. 1 Kings comes right after 2 Samuel, and it's just before 2 Kings, of course, and 1 and 2 Chronicles. 1 Kings chapter 9. If you have not brought your Bibles with you, we have few Bibles underneath the seat, so if you could make use of them even as we read God's Word together. Shall we all stand as we give reverence to the Word of God. When Solomon had finished building the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had achieved all he had desired to do, the Lord appeared to him a second time as he has appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord said to him, I have heard the prayer and plea you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me in integrity of heart and uprightness, as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons turn away from me and do not observe the commands and decrees I have given you and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land I have given them and will reach this temple I have consecrated for my name. Israel will then become a byword and an object of ridicule among all peoples. And though this temple is now imposing, all who pass by will be appalled and will scoff and say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple? People will answer, because they have forsaken the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of Egypt, and have embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. That is why the Lord brought all this disaster. The flowers fade, the grass withers, but the word of God endures forever. Let us pray, Father, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. O God, our strength. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. Today, as we continue our new sermon series, which will cover five of the historical books in the Old Testament, namely 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and the book of Ezra, we turn our attention to 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 1 to 9, which records for us God's second appearance to Solomon shortly after Solomon finished building God's temple and the royal palace and had achieved all he had desired to do. It might interest us to know that when God appeared to Solomon at the temple a second time, this was basically a repeat of what he had already done at Gibeon, as recorded for us in 1 Kings chapter 3. But what makes this encounter between God and Solomon worth looking into is the fact that this particular narrative paints a beautiful picture of God's dealings with Solomon, which for me also serves as a template as to the way that God deals with us, His people, or those who have professed Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior even at the present time. Now, if we look at this narrative in greater detail, it won't take long for us to discover that in this particular setting, God spoke what we call as words of stimulus or words of encouragement, which contained both promises and warnings. And the reason why God did this was because He wanted to rouse Solomon's energy and, more importantly, to inspire Solomon to faithful obedience. You see, when God spoke these words to Solomon, God knew fully well that with the completion of two major projects, namely the construction of the temple as well as the royal palace, Solomon might be tempted to engage in self-indulgence, meaning that he might start drawing attention to himself instead of to God for all the things that he would accomplish during his reign as the third king of Israel, as the richest and wisest king so far. So when Solomon had finished his great task, again here in our text, or here in this passage, we are told that God appeared the second time and spoke the words that Solomon needed to hear. Now, there are two aspects to these words God spoke to Solomon that I would like to point out for consideration today, and it is my hope that as I do so, we will also be cognizant of the important lessons that God wants us to learn even from this particular section of His Word. So the first thing that I would like to point out for consideration today is that the words God spoke to Solomon in the temple that day was very personal in nature, which means that these were primarily for him and for him alone. Now take note that beginning in verse 3 up to verse 5, God said to him, "I've heard the prayer and plea you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. Now, my eyes, God said, and my heart will always be there." And then take note of the transition here, God says, "As for you, if you walk before me in integrity of heart and uprightness, as David your father did, and do all I command, and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I have promised your father David, when I said, you shall never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel." Now notice again that when the words God spoke to Solomon in these verses were directed only to him. And here we see the personal promise God gave to him that if Solomon walks before God in integrity of heart and uprightness, and if Solomon obeys all of God's commands, then God said his throne will be established forever, meaning that he will always have a successor to the throne who will ensure the continuance of the kingdom that he has inherited from his father David. Now what this entails then on the part of Solomon is the nourishment of a continual consciousness of God's presence in his life, as well as the willful submission of his heart to the will of God. And church, if we translate this into our context today, what this means for us is that just like King Solomon, we too are in a position even today to become recipients of God's manifold blessings if only we walk before Him in integrity of heart and uprightness, if only we yield our will to His will, and if only we give our lives and our bodies as living sacrifice unto His service. You see, church, God has more than 7,000 promises found in His Word that is available for us. And God is making these promises available to each one of us. But then in order for us to take hold of these more than 7,000 promises, first and foremost, we must maintain an attitude of faithfulness to Him. Again, it is very clear from this narrative that God's promises are always based upon an if-then condition. Meaning that if we will do our part and remain obedient and faithful to God, then God can send the promised blessings to us. And what this makes the truth all the more wonderful is the fact that when God pours out His blessings on us, it is not just for us alone, but He's so gracious that those blessings overflow from us to the members of our family and also to those around us. In Exodus chapter 20, where we find the Ten Commandments which God stipulated for the people of Israel, we read these words beginning in verse 1 up to verse 6. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to the thousand generation of those who love me and keep my commandments." Again, the promise of God is very clear. If we disobey Him, then He will show judgment. He will punish the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate Him. But He will show love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commandments. Now just let me ask you this question based on this passage that we have just read. Does faithfulness and obedience to God bring about great dividends even in our lifetime? The answer is, it absolutely does. And so I challenge all of us here today to become faithful servants of God, because if we do, then we can trust, just as in the case of Solomon, that God's blessings will be established upon us and also upon those closest to us and around us. The second and final thing that I would like to point out for consideration is that just as God gave Solomon some personal promises in verses 3 to 5, in the later part of the narrative, we learn that he also gave the whole nation of Israel his word and he expected them to obey it. Beginning in verse 6 up to verse 10, he said, "But if you and your sons turn away from me and do not observe the commands and decrees I have given you and go off to serve other gods and worship them," God says, "then I will cut off Israel from the land I've given them and reject this temple I've consecrated for my name. Israel will then become a byword and an object of ridicule among the people. And though this temple which you built, Solomon, is very imposing right now, those who pass will be appalled and scoff and say, 'Why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple?' And people will answer, 'Because they have forsaken the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of Egypt, and embrace other gods, worshiping and serving them. That is why the Lord brought all this disaster on them.'" Church, it is very clear from this passage that just as God promised blessings upon those who obey Him and are faithful to Him, He will also send His judgment upon those who will depart from Him. And in the case of the people of Israel, the special sin that God warned them about is the sin of idolatry, which was none other than the worship of other gods aside from their one true God, Yahweh. You see, church, God hated this particular sin because in the first place, He chose Israel as a people who belonged to Him. Israel would have enjoyed God's promises of victory and blessing if they just set their hearts upon Him. But reading Israel's history, we learn that time and time again, the people of Israel turned their backs away from God, which eventually resulted to their being scattered to the four winds of the earth, to their being hated by all nations, and to being just thought of as animals for many years. God's hand of protection and blessing was lifted from Israel, and He turned His eyes away from them, just as He promised Solomon many years ago. In fact, we also learned that the people of Israel today have been outcasts of society since God lifted His hand of protection and blessing from them. And it was not until 1948, at the close of the Second World War, that Israel once again became a nation, because God in His infinite mercy began to draw all Jewish people from all over the earth to rebuild their nation. We know that in the last days, God will once again bless and protect Israel, but what a terrible price they have paid for their disobedience, when over 6 million of them were killed in the Second World War alone by Hitler's army and the death camps. And even up to this day, nearly every nation on this earth, including the United States of America, is still contemptuous toward Israel, and they still suffer persecution for their sin. In light of this sobering information that we have learned concerning the consequences of Israel's disobedience, I would like to conclude this message by tying the two points that I have presented for consideration, and then by sharing two important lessons which I trust we can bring home with us as we leave this sanctuary today. So the first lesson that I would like to share with you is something to do with the personal promise and warnings of God that God gave Solomon. And what I would like to say in line with this is that I believe that each one of us here has God's promises of victory and blessing, and I am convinced that God wants each one of us here to become great witnesses and powerful ministers unto Him, to reach the lost and touch the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't believe that God ever saves anyone so that they can just sit back and enjoy a life of mediocrity, because the truth of the matter is that when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, God births within each of us a desire for greater things. So if we have a hunger to know more of Jesus Christ right now, or if we're looking forward to a future in God with great anticipation of things to come because we are convinced that God has greater things in store for us, then let us thank God for these stirrings in our hearts. But take note that whatever God has called us to do, we need to make sure that we stay faithful and put our all into our work for Him. Just as Solomon completed the work of the temple, God will allow us to reach our full potential in Him if we remain faithful. So whether we admit it or not, day by day, or hour by hour, and year by year, we are growing older physically. Now, how many of you here don't even believe that you grow older physically day by day? Whether we admit it or not, whether we are aware of it or not, day by day, hour by hour, we are growing older physically. And I hope that as we grow older physically, we will also grow spiritually and in the knowledge of Him, because the Word of God clearly says that as we grow older spiritually, as we follow God, He will give us the increase as He desires and in His own timing. The sad thing about God's promise to Solomon, however, is that there came a time during his reign as king of Israel when Solomon became unfaithful and disobedient. And because of this, God lifted the blessings from him. Now, church, if we translate this into our context today, we see many evidences of this very sad thing happening in that as we look around us, even today, we notice that there are those who were once powerful men and women of faith, who were once so faithful in their service to God, who are not serving God anymore. A number of ministries have faced the disobedience and unfaithfulness of their leaders, and God has had to remove the blessings for a time. Because God will never contend with disobedience, and God will never contend with sin. Now, thank God that some of these leaders have come back, and they're doing all they can to recover, while many others are dead, never to rise again. Just when we think of the number of souls that could have been reached if the failures had never come, it breaks our hearts, right? A number of souls that could have been reached if pastors just remained faithful in the service to the Lord. And it breaks our hearts as well when we think of the number of people who have lost their confidence in God, especially because they kept their eyes on the men of God who fell into sin, who became unfaithful instead of God Himself. So when we see things like these happen in our midst, I hope that we will remember that just as God promises blessings to those who obey Him, the promise of judgment for sin is also a promise that we must take very seriously. The second and last lesson has something to do with the consequence of Israel's disobedience. And in line with this, I would like to say that we need to watch carefully and study what Israel has done, lest we follow the same path of disobedience. You see, church, based on God's word, God will hold us responsible, just as He does Israel. If we are not faithful to the call of God upon our lives, if we are disobedient to the commandments of God, then we too shall face the same judgments that Israel did. Just listen to this. There is no doubt that many former Christian homes are in ruin today for this reason, because they disobeyed God the Father, or the mother or the children disobeyed God. And there's no doubt that many people who once served our Lord Jesus Christ passionately are now facing the terrible judgment of God against their family, against their finances, and against their homes because of sin in their lives. And I wonder how many souls will be in hell for eternity. And how many lives and homes have been destroyed because of unfaithful and disobedient and backslidden Christians. Church, let me tell you this morning that we cannot afford to be disobedient to the commandment of God anymore. And we cannot afford to be unfaithful in our service to Him because too many souls and lives are in the balance. You see, the promise of God for blessings in the presence of Almighty God dwelling in our hearts are still very much for today. It's still available for us. So my prayer, even as I close, is this, is that we as individual Christians, we who have already professed our faith in Jesus Christ, we who tell the entire world that we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we as individual Christians and as a church remain faithful and obedient to God. Because for me, I want God's blessings. I want God's presence in my life, not only today, but for the rest of my life. So let us search our hearts right now. Let us ask God if there is any rebellious attitude within us. Let us ask God if there's any unfaithfulness within us. And let's come to God with this great expectation that He is merciful. Amen? And He wants to draw us close to Him. You see, church, even at this very moment, God is waiting for us to look to Him in repentance. And after we look to Him in repentance, then hopefully we will walk in faith. And we will walk in obedience. Praise God. Very simple lessons that we learn from this particular passage. I hope that we will bring this with us as we leave this sanctuary. I hope that it will continue to speak to us. Yes. Father, we thank You. Thank You that through the example of King Solomon, we have the opportunity to revisit our lives even today. Father, we thank You that You have given us a personal promise that each one of us, Father God, can be a recipient of Your blessings. That each one of us can take hold of more than 7,000 promises that You have for us in Your Word. But Father God, I pray that we will take to heart Your warning. If we are unfaithful, if we are disobedient, You will lift blessings. Just as You did to Solomon. Just as You did to Father, I pray that the prodding of the Holy Spirit right now, You will bring each one of us to the point of grace. That we will come before Your very throne of grace and mercy and recognize, Father God, that we have wronged You, that we have faltered in so many ways. But Father God, we come to You with the assurance that if we confess our sins to You, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In fact, You extended invitation to us. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like gold. Father, we know that You are still in the business of inviting people unto Yourself. You're still in the business of changing lives, of forgiving those who repent. And so, Father God, today we come. We come acknowledging that apart from You, we are nothing and we can do nothing. Father God, as we come in repentance, help us to walk in faith, starting today. Help us to walk in obedience, starting today. Father God, we want your blessings in our lives. We want your presence in our lives. You so will. Make this happen. It's very good. In Jesus' name.